All right, kids. What do you say we have a fire tonight? It was barely cold enough for a fire, but to be honest, in this part of New Mexico, it hardly ever got cold enough for a fire. But tonight the temps were reaching as low as a frosty 45 degrees. So Justin Matthews called an audible and built a small blaze in the brick fire pit in the backyard. When it was good and crackling, waist high and holding, he had Jillian get fixins for s'mores while he rounded up the young ones. Having four kids under the age of 10 was hard work. It was exhausting. But Justin had come to see that it was also fleeting. He liked to seize a good family moment whenever he got the chance, because Lord knows they were finite in number. The six of them sat in lawn chairs or on cut-down chunks of stump and roasted marshmallows over the fire. Once the molten mallow and the ooey-gooey melted chocolate was dripping down everyone's faces, Justin dropped in another log and stood up. It was story time. One family tradition they all loved was getting to tell scary stories around the fire. "Have I ever told you about the 7 o'clock man?" he asked the kiddos. "Yes, yes, yes, Daddy." "Oh, so you probably don't want to hear that story again, right?"
We do, of course we do."
"Are you sure? It's well after 7 already. If I tell the story, he may come for you, maybe even tonight."
"Come on, yeah, come on, tell us the story."
In hushed tones, the father started to expound on the horrors of the Canadian boogeyman who stuffed naughty children into his sack and carried them away, never to be seen again. As always, the kids were in rapt attention. Jillian watched her husband performing, lit from below by the filaments and fingers of flame, and it made her smile. He was so good with kids. And that was kind of sexy. Jillian wasn't the only one watching her husband. Not the only one listening to the story that he was telling. A hidden figure, swaddled in shadow, blanketed in black, watched on intently. It was not the 7 o'clock man. Oh no. For this family, it was much worse than that. Drinking whiskey in the kitchen and telling scary stories around the fire. Music, monsters, and mayhem. Killers, cannibals, and cults, fearful fiction and furious fact, tall tales and terrifying truths. This is A Scary Home Companion. Variations of the 7 o'clock man appear in folk tales and legends from all over the world, going back hundreds of years. The Bagman, Tonton Macoot, even Krampus, which is a Yuletide twist on this traditional figure, which is used to scare small children into following the rules and obeying their mommies and daddies. If you break the rules, if you disobey and stay up too late, then the mean old man will stuff you into his burlap sack and drag you away with him. One of the many places the myth persists is in Quebec and the surrounding Canadian lands. It is said that when the first French settlers met
the Wabanaki tribe, they found that both of them had similar stories and nightmares of the same ghostly, ghastly figure. This means that the 7 o'clock man, under one name or another, has always haunted this area. To this very day, he remains a popular legend repeated to the younger generations. Although, not necessarily for the reasons you think. You see, there are sordid parts of the great land of Quebec that are infamous for being hubs of human trafficking, funneling people both into and out of North America. Female people, mostly, and children. So the locals continue to reinforce the tales of the 7 o'clock man, using a fancified boogeyman instead of discussing the very real terrors that exist in their backyard. And the tales have taken on a life of their own over the decades, because the rates of missing women and children always remain remarkably high. It was specifically for this reason that Justin Matthews loved to tell this particular story. They didn't live in Quebec or Haiti or any other place with major trafficking issues. This was rural New Mexico, quiet and calm, dull as dishwater. But the world at large was a scary place. Using this story to throw a little scare into the kids was beneficial for everyone. No wonder it was so pervasive and universal. At the fireside, Justin followed up the spooky tale of the 7 o'clock man with a funny anecdote from his own childhood. This was another family favorite, a thrice-told tale, because little kids love repetition. Although Justin did want to scare them a bit, he also wanted them to go to sleep peacefully, which is why he ended with a joke. And then he and Jillian got everyone changed, brushed, and settled down in their beds. After they went inside, the hidden figure emerged. A man with a black bandana covering the lower half of his face. He sat down in Justin's empty lawn chair, watching the house, waiting patiently for the kids to go to sleep. For Justin Matthews, this had turned into a banner day. The stocks were up, finally. And on the way back home from the office, a random song he hadn't even thought of for 10 years came on the radio. Journey of the Sorcerer by the Eagles. It really took him back. Greatest rock band ever. Love the Eagles. And as goofy as it sounds, that energy pumped him up and propelled him into a great dinner of grilled cheese and tater tots with Kool-Aid and sangria for the two different age groups, all served from the same fancy wine glasses. It was fun. And then they had fire time. The kids were all happy and loved the stories. And now, cherry on top, it seemed that maybe Justin was going to get lucky. He checked on everyone in their beds, forehead kisses all around, and closet checks for monsters upon request. Then he took a quick rinse, slipped into silk boxers and his favorite terry cloth bathrobe, and strolled into the bedroom, only to find Jillian rolled onto her side, snoring lightly. Oh well. No biggie. He wasn't going to let a lack of nookie end his great day on a sour note. He still had the internet and a quiet house, so the world was his oyster. He could check out Pornhub, just as a lark. Or maybe he could hook up that terabyte of goodies he had on the thumb drive inside the hollowed-out book on his shelf. But first, a cold beer. And the remains of that bag of old dressed chips that Jillian had been able to find him. They were hard to come by in this part of the U.S. Justin rounded the base of the stairs, down the short inner hall to the back of the kitchen. He saw the shadow on the floor before he got there, but for some reason it didn't register. He thought it must be Jill standing at the sink, even though he had just seen her sleeping upstairs. No, that shadow didn't belong to Jill. A large, muscular man with a black bandito mask stood next to the stove. He had a gun in his hand, but was holding it up dramatically so, not as a threat, just a warning. "Oh my God, please, what do you want?" Justin said. He put his hands in the air, then back down, and then up again. The man used the gun as a level, held sideways, lowering it slowly to indicate a shh. "Let me be clear. I do not hurt children. I do not want them to wake up. This we can agree on." "Great. So let's speak softly. I have no problem with hurting you. So do as I say, and nobody gets what they don't deserve, okay?" Justin nodded. "Do you have a safe?" "Good. Where is it?" "In the crawl space over our bedroom." "Is that where you keep the movies? The pictures?" "Just jewelry and documents." "Oh, I see. You're lying." I must say that for a home invader, you're very well-mannered. This is a home invasion, isn't it?" The man shook his masked face. "No, it isn't. I'm here for you, Justin Matthews. I know what you did. I know who you are. I'm here to ask you a few things and settle accounts." "Oh, God." Justin felt his knees tremble and leaned against the edge of the kitchen counter to support himself. The masked man came in close. He put the gun away because at this point he didn't need it. He had several inches and many kilos over the smaller, weaker man, and the hate in his eyes pushed down on Justin like gravity. "Look at me," he said, and pulled down his bandana. Justin tried to look away, but the man wouldn't allow it. "Look at me. You already know my face, and now you will know my name. If you don't do as I say, how I say, you are going to die. So take a second, collect yourself, deal with this reality, and look at me." Justin looked the home invader in the face. The man appraised him, studied him. He was looking for something. What was it? "Me amo Manuel Cortez. You knew I would come for you." He glowered at Justin, who started to tear up. Manny kept searching his eyes. And then... "Okay, Justin. Let's go outside, where you and I can talk like gentlemen." Fire was burned out, just smoldering orange smothered in sandy gray. Justin sat in his lawn chair near the kindling stump and the hatchet. Manny stood a few feet away, watching him closely. "I heard you spinning yarns for your kids. You're good, man. For a second there, I almost bought into it. Maybe this is the wrong guy, you know? But you're the right guy." "I don't know what you mean.
Your wife doesn't know, your kids don't know, the geeks at the brokerage don't know. But I do, amigo. I see who you really are. Since you know about the 7 o'clock, man, you must know about the 7 o'clock society, yeah? No? For real, for real? This was in the 80s and 90s, something like that. It was a cult that worshipped Tonton Macoute, another name for the 7 o'clock man. In this cult, they did his work for him. Stole children, took them away. To where, the stories don't agree. Thing is, somewhere along the way, the cult became a business. Having stolen children to sell, it's always big money. It's always high demand. So this evil cult became an evil human trafficking source. Child sex slaves. And worse, if anything could be worse than that. But hey, Justin, you know what they say. Do what you love and you never work a day in your life. These guys had their church and their cash cow all rolled into one. And then someone destroyed them. A group of fanatics, do-gooders from the Catholic Church, called themselves Nemesis. And they came in, and Hermano, they came in heavy, executed every last one of them. So that was the end of that, for a while. Then, a few years ago, there's this new group, mostly online. They don't buy and sell and traffic kids. They just use them for entertainment purposes. Streaming shows, dark web bullshit. I can't explain how it works because I don't understand it myself. It's really more of a Mona thing. Bottom line is it's the new breed of pornography where sex isn't the point. The violence is the point. The misery. Gotta admit, it fucks with my head, bro. I mean, I've seen some shit and I've seen some shit, but this might take the tres leches. Monsters are real, Justin. I've seen them. Demons walk. But there's nothing worse than one of us going bad. Do you understand it, Justin? Understand what? Understand how anyone could get off by watching helpless, innocent kids suffering. Justin shook his head sadly. Yeah, I guess. Well said. So anyway, I know I'm beating around the bush here, but I've sort of been waiting for you to act like a man. For the first time in your miserable cucaracha life? You recognize me, Justin. I know you fucking do. But you're playing dumb about as good as anyone I've ever seen. So if I have to keep telling you what you already know, let's just do it. This new group I was talking about. The ones that live stream shit, like, I don't know, let's just pick a random example. Let's say the vivisection of a living infant. Yeah, let's say that. These guys call themselves 7S, a new generation of the 7 o'clock society. Maybe, or maybe they're just paying homage, maybe they just think it sounds cool. And that night, and you remember that night, Justin. Let's see if I can recall the sales pitch for this particular broadcast. Wait. Yeah, I got it. It went, your favorite doctor and nurse are back again with their youngest patient ever. Things don't look so good for Daisy. Slots are limited. And no one will be seated after showtime. Is this ringing some bells now? It should, because you were the first motherfucker in the audience
the very first. Like, you just couldn't wait to see them take that baby apart piece by piece. No. Please, that wasn't me. I don't... A baby? That's terrible. A baby? But then my friend and I interrupted the show. And I looked right in the camera. I looked right at you. And I said to remember my face, because I'd be coming for all of you. Every person in that audience. And you know what, Justin? You weren't the first. Far from it. All my coworkers, my friends, they have hobbies and side projects, you know? Now I have one. This is my hobby. I have the extra money and I have the reach, so whenever I have a little free time on my hands, this is how I relax. By making the world a better place. I've been taking down 7S one cell at a time, amigo. Caught a few big fish, but I never forget the little guys in their small ponds. Since I was out this way, I thought it was time to pay you a visit. Manny took out his gun again and screwed a silencer into the barrel. Now, I think I'm about done talking. You know what you did, and I need to hear it. Listen, I mean, I have some stuff, you know, some maybe weird stuff on a hard drive in the office. Picks and movies, like you said, but I swear, mister, call me Manny. I swear, it's nothing like you're saying. It's no babies or kids or murder. It's not me, it's just, you know, a little weird. I don't want my wife to find out. Manny lowered the gun. Not because he believed Justin, but because Jillian was standing behind him, watching and listening silently, as she had been the last couple of minutes. Her face was pale, her mouth covered by her hands. Manny wasn't sure if she was scared of him or what she had learned about her husband. Babies, Justin. And Daisy wasn't the first. You've watched several of their shows. Justin sighed and sobbed. It's not like that. It was just some harmless fun. Harmless fun? Jillian snapped, coming alive and livid into the chalky moonlight. She snatched up the hatchet from the kindling stump, tears streaming down her face. What did you do to our kids? And she planted the dull, pitted blade of the hatchet into the side of his neck. Justin tried to stand, gripping the armrests with white knuckles. But his knees gave, and he pitched forward into the glowing fire pit. He hit hard and didn't move. His blood sizzled against the hot ashes. Jillian knelt by his body and wept bitter tears. Manny just watched, letting her work through it. She said to him, "Thank you for showing me who he really was. I can't believe I shared a home with that monster. How did I not see it?" Manny knelt down beside her so he could look her squarely in the eye. "Here's the thing, though, Jillian. Justin didn't recognize me. He was pissing himself, terrified. Sure, yeah, he was, but he was just a scared little white dude. Of course he was terrified by a big hombre in his home. Not you, though. You're scared for a different reason. I can see that. You recognize me from the Daisy live stream. Poor old Justin here. He wasn't the paying customer, was he? You were. She opened her mouth to answer, then closed it. His eyes bored into her. She knew for a certainty she couldn't talk her way out of this. Not here. Not with him. She stared at the ground. She patted her husband's back apologetically. You paid them to watch them cut up Daisy. She nodded. You've paid before. 3 times. 3 shows. 3 kids. She nodded again. That's a lot of money for someone like you. Out of curiosity, how'd you finance it? Bake sale? Car wash? In a hoarse whisper, she said, I defrauded the community outreach at the church. They don't know about it yet. The bottom just keeps falling out for you, doesn't it, Jillian? I have to say, I appreciate your honesty. There's at least some kind of dignity in that. So, I need you to be honest for me one more time. And this one is important. He dangled the gun from one finger. Yes, she said, looking up at him. Yes, what? Yes, I'll help you. I'll tell you everything I know. I'll give you everything I have. About the other viewers, too. I message a few of them. We have a group chat on burner phones. And 7S, I know a lot about them, so... He shushed her with a curt shake of his head. We don't need that. Not from you. We handled a few of them already. Gave some to the 303 as a sign of respect. We're taking care of the rest personally. Rome wasn't burned in a day, you know? You can't help me, Jillian. What I wanted to ask you was, how do you want your children to remember you? The way they do now? Or do you want them to know the truth? She sagged. Manny rose and drifted around behind her. She opened her palm for the gun and didn't fight back when he aimed it at her temple. Now her prints were on this clean drop gun, and she was in prime position to catch the gunpowder residue so that the police could have no question and be 100% sure this was a murder-suicide. And she might have done it. She might have. But Manny pulled her finger off of the trigger and replaced it with his own. Jillian Matthews had paid thousands of dollars for the chance to watch the torture of a baby. Manny needed to be the one to pull the trigger. She didn't deserve to. May your rotten soul burn in hell, he said, and shot her through the head. Her body fell across that of Justin. Manny stood there for a moment and texted Mona to send the cops before the kids could wake up and find their parents this way. And then he strolled back to his car, calm and relaxed, whistling all the way. Thank you for listening to another twisty, turny episode of A Scary Home Companion. You may not know this, but this story is actually a follow-up to a Patreon-exclusive episode from a few months ago called Blood-Soaked Pajamas Beside a Country Road. It's one of our more intense and nerve-shredding episodes, if I do say so myself. It's also one of more than 30 episodes available only to patrons. If you liked this one and you're curious about the previous episode, but maybe don't want to sign up for a membership, we opened a new shop. You can download certain exclusives and extras for a couple of bucks. 2024 is going to be a big year for a Scary Home Companion. You can mark that. So get in while the getting's good. Sign up for an annual membership, and you get a big, juicy discount. Follow the show on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Reddit, or contact us directly at ascaryhomecompanion@gmail.com. The atmospheric tunes this time around were courtesy of the bands Tramos and Universe Field. Check out all of their music at freemusicarchive.com.